All right.
Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day that we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He went to heaven. But before he went, he told his disciples, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I have to go to heaven and get some things done. But he said, I'm not leaving you alone. In fact, it's better that I do go away, because then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who is going to comfort you. And Jesus said, it's better for you that he goes away. Because if when Jesus was here, he was either here or he wasn't here. So if Jesus was with us today, how it was before he ascended into the heaven, he would be here, but he wouldn't be at the Methodist church down the street. He wouldn't be anywhere else. He wouldn't be at Chestnut Assembly. He wouldn't be in Hamilton. He wouldn't be in Malaga. He would just be here. And if he was there, he wouldn't be here. We'd have no Jesus. Jesus went back to the Father. And now Jesus is everywhere, but also the Holy Spirit now comes and lives within the believers. For everyone who have asked Jesus into their heart, who have been forgiven, the Holy Spirit lives within them and has given you power to live. Isn't that good, knowing you don't have to live by yourself, right? That Jesus lives in you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and He gives you power to witness, He gives you power to live for Him. So today we're going to talk about that. I have some video clips we're going to share that speak of that and what this power can do. And we're going to be determined today to live for and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because that's what we do. We're Christians. We love Jesus. As Solid Rock, we worship Jesus. When we leave this place on Sundays, we leave and we apply the Word of God that we heard, because that's what we do. God is changing us. And we're also relying on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we don't want to just be like everybody else. We want to pause and say, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, give me the power to do what I need to get done. Does anybody have an easy day every day, right? Has anybody had an easy day lately? Right? Been a long time. We need God's power to get done the things we need to get done and to live as Christians. So today we're going to focus on that. Amen. So we're going to watch this video clip. Check this out. And then we're going to open up our Bibles in just a moment.
We really have to be sensitive in our lives to the prompting of the Spirit.
To be a part of the kingdom, we've got to be a part of spiritual things.
It's not genetic. It isn't inherited. It's something that you have been given.
Sometimes you don't see what the Holy Spirit is doing at the moment.
I heard an intriguing fact on the radio. 95% of all sport utility vehicles sold in the United States are never taken off the road. Of course, during Minnesota winters, four-wheel drive is a great help in snow and even on city streets. But why would someone need four-wheel drive on the Southern California freeways? These vehicles were equipped for a purpose for which most are rarely, if ever, used. I believe this illustrates many people's experience concerning the Holy Spirit baptism. They receive this wonderful gift, yet they don't put it into action or may not even fully understand the purpose for which this equipping power was given. The power Jesus promised His followers is for every aspect of Christian living, enabling us to do and be whatever our Lord has purposed in our lives.
You know, the whole idea of the Pentecostal doctrine and lifestyle is to, as closely as possible, replicate the belief and behavior of the early Christians. And that's the whole idea. Basically, Pentecostalism at its root is what is called a restorationist movement. It wants to restore what was lost to the church, perhaps through neglect, perhaps through the accretion of tradition over a period of time, whatever the reason. It wants to get back to the purity, the pristine quality of the early church and its experience with God and its enablement of the Holy Spirit, which caused it in one generation to effectively evangelize their then known world.
The baptism flows through the infilling of the Spirit and the giving of word, language, whether it's a language of men or a language of angels, it is given by the Spirit to us to speak. When we speak it, we're being obedient, and it is the understanding that that's how we know. When you hear or you see or you feel God speaking that way, and you speak what He gives you, you are obedient to God. And there's a physical proof, a sign that you are being baptized, that you have been filled and with the baptismal Holy Spirit.
The Spirit is up to two things. I call it the inward journey and the outward journey. The inward journey is the Spirit wants to intensify something deep within us. There's a psalm that says, deep calls unto deep. And, you know, the moon calls to the tides below and the tides respond. There's a pattern in migrating birds that calls them from one end of the north to the other end of the south during winter. But there's something deep in the Spirit of God that calls to the depths of our human psyche and into our soul that calls us to cry out after God. It's also for empowerment. You will receive power. So people who have an intensified internal experience with the Lord then have greater effect in their external relationships with those who are not believers. Spirit baptism in the Spirit is not an end-all, it's a start-all. It's the start of the journey. That's why it's called part of the conversion cluster. I love the term which theologians have been using in recent years in the charismatic renewal. The conversion cluster is salvation, water baptism, and Spirit baptism. And when you look at the New Testament, those things happen pretty rapidly in conjunction with one another. Spirit baptism accomplishes really those two goals, the deep journey inward and the great journey outward.
Every day, when I begin my day, I invite the Holy Spirit and I ask Him to fill me. Fill me till I'm just so full of Him and His Word. And I know that He is changing me every day because I'm doing things now that I never thought I would ever do.
In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were fleeing Egypt for the Promised Land, God gave them bread from heaven called manna to feed them during their wilderness journey. It was not a supply to be stored up and carried with them. It was given to them as they needed it. A life overflowing with the fullness of the Spirit is much the same. When Paul exhorted the Ephesian Christians to be filled with the Spirit, the tense of the verb means to keep on being filled. The infilling of the Spirit should be ongoing. We must keep praying in the Spirit, loving in the Spirit, and living in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptism, as wonderful as it is not just a one-time experience. We need to keep being filled. We need a continuing inpouring of the Holy Spirit daily in our lives.
There's some good thoughts there. You can turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5:16. I put the page number on the screen if you have one of our Bibles. I do encourage you to bring your own Bible. I like to mark up my Bible all the time. So for me, I love bringing my Bible to church because I would write in there notes that the pastor would share in the margins and things and underline words that really spoke to me. And you can only do that in your own Bible. So I encourage you to bring your own Bible. If you have one, bring it. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. We have paperback ones underneath of that nice picture in our cafe. You can take one of those and keep it if you don't have a good Bible that's easy to read. But a Bible's your friend. The Bible teaches us about everything. And I enjoy getting into it, marking things up. So my page number isn't that. My page number is 1,850 because I have big print in my Bible. Because I love big print. I have the old people's Bible, and I love it. So I can see, I can mark it up, and it's my friend. So I hope your Bible is your friend as well. Listen, the Lord is good, isn't He? And we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives within us. I'm so thankful for what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. He helps me. He gives me understanding. When I, when I sense His presence, listen, it's like nothing else. It's like nothing else. The only way I can do what I do is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm a shy person. I'm an introvert. I can go to things and never talk to anybody. I'm fine, you know. I can go into a big room of people I don't know. I'm not the outgoing guy. I could, you know, drink a coffee, stand against the wall, sit in the back. I'm fine. Some people don't believe that if you see me in church. All this is God propelling me. Because I'm fine just being quiet. My wife might disagree, but I am though. I'm pretty fine just being quiet. But the Holy Spirit, man, I know God's called me to share His Word. I don't know how good I do, but you know, I could blame that on Millville. But the Holy Spirit side of it's really good. God, Millville Public Schools, woo, go Thunderbolts. God is working in my life. The Holy Spirit comes on me, and when it's time to preach, man, it's time to preach. And I just sense God. And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, God has given you the Holy Spirit. But what they referred to in the video is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The terminology comes from the Bible. What it is basically, you received God, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and what we need to do is we continue to love Jesus more, and we spend time with God. What happens is we get, as we confess our sin and as we love Jesus, we allow the Holy Spirit to come in every area of our lives. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe you could think of it as giving God everything. And when you give God everything and you allow Him to come into your life, the Holy Spirit fills you and floods your mind. Right? And he fills you with Himself and He gives you power. It's a deeper spiritual dynamic. Maybe it's like being more plugged into God. I've heard people say, because it's easy to say you get more of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that that wording is true. What I think, though, is the Holy Spirit gets more of you. When you submit and you surrender and you say, God, I want everything you have. God wants to fill you with His gifts. Did you know that? God wants to bless you. We have some brochures. I just ordered more in the back because we were out. To kind of explain the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you come from a different church perspective. This may help you. There's like 20 questions in here with answers. Really good. And this other brochure is the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit still works today. God still works today, doesn't He? Amen. Amen? Right? God still works the same way that He always has. Why do we pray for healing a few moments ago? Because God still heals today, doesn't He? God still wants to use you to change the world. Do you know that? God wants to use you to change the world. I can look at each and every one of you. God wants to use you to change the world. He wants to fill you with His presence. He wants to give you His fruits of the Spirit, which we're actually going to read in a moment. And He also wants to give you gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you spiritual gifts so you can go out and help reach the world for Him. We're not just hanging out till we die. God has given us a mission. And it's not mission impossible. On our own it is. It's mission possible with the Holy Spirit as we submit to Him and as we listen to Him. It's exciting living for the Lord, isn't it? And that's what we do as a church. Many people, they don't think about God. Listen, as a church, we do. Those of you here today, as those part on Team Solid Rock, listen, we move forward trusting in Jesus. And we rely on the Holy Spirit. That's just what we do. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us. And listen, we have a choice every day whether or not we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit or be led by something else. Right? Do you know that? You have a choice. Are you going to be led by the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to be led by something else? Galatians 5, begins talking about this dynamic. And you get to choose. And I pray we choose to listen to the Holy Spirit. I think it's going to go much better. Let's read Galatians 5:16. Paul says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses." Here's what Paul is saying. There is this war within you. If you're not a Christian, you don't have a war within you. You're just evil and you're just going to hell and the devil's fine with it. If you're a Christian, you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, lives in you. And He's working on you and changing you. That's when the war begins. That's when something happens in your life and there's two things you can do, okay? Let's just use the analogy of somebody gets in front of you. Okay, here we go. You're at Walmart. Do you love Walmart? Do you love the lines at Walmart? They have like 6,000 registers and two open, right? Am I right? It's like you could have saved money and not bought all these cash registers. I get there, and sometimes I'm kind of shy and quiet until I'm in the store, and Pastor Bob will tell you, then I just start shouting stuff like, "Why'd we even buy all these registers? You only have two open. What's the deal here?" So we're standing there, right? You got two registers open. And the other thing is they have the self-checkout. Do you like that? I'm thinking if I wanted to go like this, boop, 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 I would have filled out an application. Then I'm standing there. If I use self-checkout, I get mad. I want to throw things. I'm really calm, but those things drive me nuts because as I'm scanning it, I'm thinking I should be getting paid for this. Right? Boop! And then you'll lay the potato chips and nothing. Nothing. Come on, right? Nothing. And then God forbid you have a coupon and you stick it in the thing and it's like, "Please insert coupon." I did. I'm telling the computer, "Please insert coupon." I did. And then like 2 days ago, I went to the machine and I'm blowing it. trying to get that coupon to fall down. You give me a dollar off my cheese and then I'm fighting with the machine, right? It's true. And then you're all done and it'll say, "Please take unchecked item off belt." I didn't put nothing on the belt. I'm yelling at the machine, "Stop accusing me of stealing. I didn't steal anything." Right? Anybody else? Yeah, please put the...
You don't have no room there.
And I'm yelling at the... Anybody else yell at the machine? I'm yelling at the machine. That poor girl's probably thinking I'm nuts. Thank the Lord I didn't have my Solid Rock t-shirt on. Because that would have been a bad thing. Right? Right? Yeah. But back to the Holy Spirit, because we could go... Imagine that. You're in line. You're like, "No, I'm not going to get a job at ShopRite today or here at Walmart, whatever. I'm not going to do the self-checkout. I'll wait here behind this lady with the screaming kids with all these empty registers." And then finally, somebody opens up another one and says, "Will the next available person come over?" And you start to move and 6 people get in there. And you have like 1 onion or something, right? And they have like 16 different things. Anybody? Right? Do you go to that store? Yeah. So back to the sinful nature, Holy Spirit. At that point, you have a choice. What do I do? Right? Somebody cuts in front of you. You're right there. The sinful nature says, cut them off. Pull them out of the way. Get in front of them, right? How dare you? I've been in line. You just got here. Let me, right? Sinful nature gets mad. You want to start fighting? You want to start yelling things at people? I don't really yell at people too much. Maybe that's why I have so many issues. Maybe I should. I just yell at computers. That's what really gets to me. But the sinful nature wants you to yell at people, and the Holy Spirit within you says, nope. Hopefully the Holy Spirit says, check and see if you're wearing the Solid Rock t-shirt. That should guide your actions as well. But nope, okay. And the Holy Spirit should hopefully say, no. Goodness, kindness, Jesus is good. I can wait for this lady to buy her 15 cantaloupes. Right? Or whatever. And then you're in line and the kids are screaming and they're not your kids. And the Holy Spirit, yeah, I can wait and not choke a stranger's kid. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit changes you, right? See, we love Jesus, we love God, and we want all that He has for us. And the Holy Spirit is not just about coming to church and having a Pentecostal church service, although the Holy Spirit shows up, and I do believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. I love when the Holy Spirit is in church and you sense His presence and everybody's responding and someone shares a word from the Lord because they'll say, I believe the Lord is wanting me to share this, and it brings healing to somebody who's hurting. I believe that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, people will praise God in another language. It just happens. People have called it praying in tongues, whatever you want to call it. For me, I know when I pray and just seek God and I sense His presence, I just pray and just a spiritual language comes out, and it probably sounds like nonsense, but I know it's God. So it's just me praying, seeking God. I know the Holy Spirit helps me. Because I don't even know how to praise Jesus right. And the Holy Spirit will help me begin to worship. And help me begin to pray for things I don't know what to pray for. Romans 8, I believe it is, tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us with groans and helps us to pray. When we don't know what to pray, we can just pray in the Spirit. God is so good. So today we celebrate the Holy Spirit. And we remember that He has come into our life to change us. And back to Galatians, we have this war within us where our sinful nature is wanting us to do one thing, and the Holy Spirit within us now is leading us towards Jesus. And it doesn't just change church, does it? It really does impact us at Walmart, doesn't it? Right? Amen? Because Jesus changes us everywhere. The Holy Spirit doesn't just change church, it changes us in our living rooms, doesn't it? Right? When we're at home, anybody? The Holy Spirit also changes how we spend money. It changes how we treat our spouse. It changes how we raise our kids. It changes what movies we rent. It's not because the pastor makes a rule about certain movies. It's because God is living within us and we're listening to Him. And when we listen to Him and we're saying, God, I want more of You. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Lead me. And He leads us. And it changes everything. And we can choose every day, though, to do whatever we want to do. And listen to our sinful nature and react the wrong way, or we can do what the Holy Spirit wants. Let's read on in Galatians a little bit further in this passage. Verse 19. This is what happens when you follow your sinful nature. Paul says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Is it just me, or does that sound like every TV show? Every reality TV show. Selfish ambition. I'm going to get on top, right? I'm the one who's most important. I'll lie, I'll cheat, I steal. If it's a game show Survivor or something, I'll make alliances, but I'm not going to keep it because I'm going to do what I want to do. If it's a reality show like, I'm guessing, Jersey Shore, I've never seen Jersey Shore. I love going to the Jersey Shore, but the TV show is just not what I believe the Jersey Shore is. But in those, from what I understand, drunkenness, outbursts of anger, wild parties, hostility, quarreling. Do you like watching TV shows where people argue? No, because to me that takes me back to Walmart screaming at the computer. I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch people fight. But you understand, that is the desires of sinful nature. Why do sinners get on TV and reality shows, and why do they do all this stuff? Because that's where following your sinful nature will lead you. Right? It'll lead you in these places of lust. Right? Lust. Every TV show, it seems to me, has an extremely strong sexual bend. Does it not? Isn't it strange? Is it just me? I'm shocked when I watch just commercials for TV shows, because I don't watch the garbage, to be honest with you. I'm not Amish. I have a TV. I like my TV. But I just choose to not watch the garbage. And I was watching Good Game the other night. I watched the end of the Mavericks game beating the Heat in Game 5. Awesome! The best half I've ever seen of basketball. Phenomenal. But I'm watching the commercials and I'm saying, what is this? A new series with cops who see dead bodies and kids in the room trying to be nice or intimate inappropriately. Okay? Inappropriate intimacy. And then after that, a commercial for another new show. We're flight attendants. We fly in the air. We fight. And we have intimate, inappropriate actions. Really? So it's like TV show, okay. Cops, sex. Lawyers, sex. Flight attendants, come on. I'm like, flight attendants? Come on, really? Right? But that's where entertainment, why is that? Because that's what the Bible says. They're fallen. People with sinful natures. As Christians, we can choose, am I going that way? Or am I following the Holy Spirit? Right? Well, where does that way eventually end up? Does anybody have that question? Where does that following the sinful nature eventually end up? It'll take you to lustful pleasures. It'll take you to sorcery. It'll take you towards spirituality. Oprah Winfrey, right? Spiritual. Let's just touch your inner God. You don't have an inner God. Right? It'll take you places, fighting, divisions, drunkenness, wild parties. But look at the end. Let me tell you again, Paul says. Listen up! As I've done before, anyone living that sort of life will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? Paul is warning the church of Galatia. Galatians is written to who? The Christians. And Paul is telling the Christians, you have a choice. You can listen to your sinful nature. Here's what you're going to see. But if you do that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It means you're not going to heaven. right? Right? You're not... Well, where are you going then? Do you just linger? Do you just float around earth? The Bible gives us only two choices. Heaven or hell. So he's telling these Christians, you need to wake up and listen. The Holy Spirit has come. He works in you. He's given you a desire towards himself. But you have the sinful nature is alive in you. And it's powerful. And there's this war where your sinful nature is going to try to get you to go in the wrong ways. Be careful. If you walk into that, if you follow that too much, you may be in danger of not even being a Christian anymore. That's a big deal, isn't it? Now, when we read that list, I don't want my life to be filled with the stuff in that list we just read. Right? We talk a lot about roles at our church. My number one role is to be a Christian. I want to love Jesus. My number two role is to be a good husband. My number three role is to be a good dad. I want to be daddy of the universe. Daddy of, like, forever. I want to be the best daddy ever. We have a lot of good dads in our church, so you guys are making it hard, but that's good. Keep being good daddies. But that's what I want to do. Moving down the list, pastoring's in there somewhere. I want to be a good pastor and live for Jesus. I don't want this junk in my life. But guess what? The Holy Spirit will produce stuff that's good in my life if I listen to the Holy Spirit and seek Him. Let's read the next list. I quote this a lot. But this is where I believe as a church, we want to be. I think you want these things we're going to read. I think all of humanity wants these things. And I want to say it's possible if you seek the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We're going to read this list. And I think everybody's searching for this, but they want this without God. And these things only come from the Holy Spirit. And these are good things. And this is what God wants to bless you with, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. This is what happens, right? Love. Read this with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't that awesome? Does anybody like goodness, kindness, right? Gentleness? Absolutely. Does anybody in here want self-control? You want to be able to control yourself? Listen, that comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from reading, you know, self-help books. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Right? Patience comes from the Holy Spirit. Peace comes from the Holy Spirit. You know what peace is? Peace is the opposite of chaos. When life's out of control and things are crazy, the Holy Spirit brings within our life peace, this inner sense that everything's going to be okay, and we can take a deep breath and know, even if the world's going crazy, Jesus and I, we can get through this, and He'll give you peace. That doesn't come from meditating or smoking pot, right? It comes from the Holy Spirit, right? How many people are searching for love? In all the wrong places. Searching for joy. You get this from the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we get to do that. We get to receive these things if we trust Him and seek Him. We'll read two more verses and we're going to wrap this up. Look at verse 24. This is why we can receive these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. We've nailed our passions and desires to the cross. You know why you don't have to fulfill every lust of your heart? Because Jesus went to the cross, right? The picture Paul paints is the sin that you always had to do before. When you were mad, you would have to hit somebody, right? Or you would have to give somebody a piece of your mind. Or if there was a temptation, you would have to give in. The Bible says Jesus, like, you can picture it like he took those sins and they were nailed to the cross, and you don't have to do those things anymore. Isn't that good? That bad list we read, a lot of us did those things before we came to God. That described our old life. And there wasn't much we could do about it. We would try to be good and we would fall into sin. And it doesn't mean you were a bad person, but you were just a person that didn't have Jesus in your life and you didn't have the Holy Spirit. And you couldn't be good because that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And all of your bad things were just there. And when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you've asked Him to forgive you, and you said, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit, help me to live for You. It's like Jesus took those things and nailed Him to His cross and said, I died to set you free, and now you can live, and now you can have joy. Isn't that good? And now you can have peace. And now, even though you spent your life looking for love, now you can experience love, because greater love has no man than the one who lays down his life for his friends, and that was Jesus. Now you can have gentleness. Even if you grew up with parents who were terrible to you, and you're kind of rough because you had to put like you had to just protect your heart. So you kind of put on this rough interior and you never let anybody in. And you're just hard and calloused. I want you to know the Holy Spirit could come in your heart and change you and heal you and make you gentle. Where you couldn't do that on your own, the Holy Spirit can heal you. And you no longer have to go around broken. Isn't that good news? For those who don't have self-control, the Holy Spirit wants to give you self-control today. He wants to help you to do all the things that you really want to do. He wants to help you. We need to seek Him. Last verse. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part. That means when we worship God, the Holy Spirit comes within us, He changes us, and we don't leave the Holy Spirit here. We take Him with us on our jobs. We take Him with us in our relationships. Right? With how we deal with our children. If you're married, how you deal with your spouse. If you're not married, it's how you deal with your boyfriend and girlfriend. Do you do that how the Holy Spirit would have you? Are you taking the Holy Spirit and letting Him lead you in every area of your life? Or are you just saying that Sunday morning? See, as a church, I believe we're people who want the Holy Spirit to rule us, aren't we? I believe we are. And if you fail Him in areas today, I want you to ask Him to help you. Today, I want you to commit to allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, not just as a Christian, but with everything that you have. Because what I pray for you is that your life would be filled with love and joy. You don't understand. You need joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. That's what you need. And that's exactly the gift that the Holy Spirit has for you today. He wants to fill you. And I say, we will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, because that's what we do. Don't we? We follow the Holy Spirit. When the world chooses to go one way, we choose to say, nope, we're going to follow the Lord. And we can participate with our friends, and we can go to barbecues, and we can watch TV and movies. But there's times in our life where we need to say, you know what? This is as far as I'm going to ride on this train. Have fun going home early, because the Holy Spirit is leading me. And I'm not going to do this, but we'll hang out, we'll get pizza, right? But when it's time to go, it's time to go. I've heard of men who love Jesus, whose buddy is getting married. and they're having a bachelor party. And they love Jesus, and they go to the bachelor party, and they go, and the people might be drinking beers, and they'll say, you know, I'll drink a Pepsi, I'm fine. And they'll hang out, and they'll have a good time and celebrate. But at the end, later on at night, when everybody's going to go out and go to the bar or whatever, the Christian says, love you guys, I'll see you guys tomorrow at the wedding, and goes home. Because he's following the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, I love you guys, we're friends. I'll always be there for you. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Because he's different, right? Because the Holy Spirit's leading him. That's what a life looks like. It's changed. We follow the Holy Spirit's leading everywhere. At work, we follow the Holy Spirit. When we're raising our kids, we follow the Holy Spirit because that's what we do. We love Jesus and we want joy. Last thing we're going to do is this. We're going to spend a couple of minutes worshiping Jesus. Can we do that? I don't want to just talk about following the leading of the Lord. We're going to spend a couple of minutes and let's just worship Jesus. If there's sin in your life, give it to Jesus today. Listen, all of us, when we come to church, there's some junk we need to get rid of. The Holy Spirit can be speaking to you. You need to confess some sins. You confess them. During this song, give it to Jesus. Right? Because that's what we do. Do we mess up? Yes. Do I confess my sins? Yes. Do I repent of my sins? Yes. Because I'm not perfect, but I love Jesus, and I'm going to ask Him to forgive me and move forward every time I need it. Because that's what we do. And for this next couple of minutes, I want to encourage you to seek Him. Amen?
Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord is good, isn't He?
Amen.
All the time we worship Him because He is so good. Because of all He's done for us, that's just what we do. Because He's changed us, because He's worked in our lives, because He's strengthened our marriages, because He's helped us, we worship Him. That's just what we do. We give Him praise, don't we? And we choose today that we will seek Him, listen, and we will live for Him and be different than the world because God lives within us and that's going to change us. Amen? We're not going to leave here and act like everybody else. When the Creator of all things lives within us, it changes us and we're going to be different. And I'm okay with different. Because I look at everything else and say, I don't want that. I don't want that. I've seen the results of living without Jesus. I've dealt with people. I've counseled couples. I've counseled countless teenagers who have come from broken homes. I've seen that. I don't want my daughter visiting her therapist in the future because her daddy didn't love Jesus or because her daddy was fake. Amen? Because God lives within me. And I live for Him. And that's just what we do. God lives in you and you live for Him. And today as we leave, I want to charge you. Charge you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is God. It's not just emotion. It's not just like we get hyped up. Rah, rah, we love Jesus. It's not that. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. It's God Himself who lives within you, who leads you. And sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and it's quiet. And sometimes you'll just be home alone and you'll just be praying and you'll just sense God. And when you do that, just stop and just listen to God. Turn the TV off. Turn the phone off. Shut Facebook down. Stop playing solitaire and listen to God. And say, Lord, I want you to lead me. Actually, we should say, He does lead. I want to follow. Right. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're here today, I'm going to pray for you. Then we're going to take the offering and leave. Well, fellowship, drink coffee, hang out forever, and then we'll leave. But if you're here today and you say, today, I'm saying, I want to follow the Holy Spirit. just lift up your hands and I want to pray for you. If you're saying, I'm committing today, I want to follow the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to follow God. I want to do things God's way and not my own, right? I want the gifts or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I want that to be me. Amen? Let me pray for you today. Jesus, I pray, God, for those here today who have lifted up their hands and said, I want to follow the Spirit of God. Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch them today, that they would sense you, God, and that they would respond to you. Lord, not just here now, although I pray that does happen. I pray that you fill people with your Holy Spirit today. But I pray, God, that it'll just be the beginning. And as we leave, you will continue working in their lives, and you will be speaking to them daily. God, leading them. And I pray that they will learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not just give in to the cries of the sinful nature. I pray that in their lives they will have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, God, as evidences that God Himself is living within them, I pray. For everyone today, and we will worship you. Because that's what we do. Because you've changed us. We will live for you because you live in us and you empower us to do that, God. And we will be different, but we're glad we're different because the living God is living within us and burning within us. And we're proud to fly the flag of Christ everywhere we go. And we will give you praise, and we'll give you honor, and give you glory. And for those who are facing a tough week this week, for those who have, God, they're just depressed, or there's darkness hanging over them, I pray today in Jesus' name that you would give them light, Lord. For those who are sick, I pray that you would bring healing. For those who have family issues that are very difficult, I pray that you would bring reconciliation this week, Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and we'll give you praise, God, for everything in every area because you are so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. We worship you in spirit and in truth, mind, body, soul, and spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? We can give him praise today. Thank you, Jesus.